Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others, would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten, my truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah! Yes, well, my brothers and my sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back again for another episode, back again for another very, very precious, precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edim Yah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, indeed, so very, very thankful. Very thankful to the Most High for this precious opportunity to be back with you here again, to speak these very precious words the Most High has granted us for the healing of our people. For indeed, the Most High has told me directly that I must tell you things. Yes, that indeed I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, to silence. And if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has always had a plan to bring to remembrance all that he has spoken from the very beginning, eternal. For that which he has declared from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, that plan, that covenant, that agreement that the Most High has declared from the very beginning, my brothers and sisters, is irrevocable. It is irrevocable, my brothers and sisters, for by no means, I said by no means, shall any man say rightly that the Most High could ever be destabilized by the misconceits of man? Here, my brothers and sisters, we have, again, a very important bit of topical matter to speak about this evening. And it's very important, and I say it's very important because it has a lot to do with who it is that's truly avowed unto the Most High and who is not. In the last show, I spoke a bit about this. I find it amazing that so many dare to say that the creator of heaven and earth, him whom they say they worship, whom they say they love, that so many have dared to say that him is who is the Most High. They dare to believe that somehow that he has no law. The maker of heaven and earth, the creator, the one who sets all things in order. That there might even be peace, that the people might be one. those who dare to believe that somehow he has no law. Much scripture says otherwise. If you read Isaiah 41:25 through 42 and 4, the scripture says, for instance, as a solution to all the anomalies that exist in this world whereby men have not preached the gospel, truly what is the word of peace? It relates that the isles shall wait for his law, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 40, 27 through 40. How about 41:5? Those scriptures outright declare the Messiah will come saying, keep silence before me, O you isles, speaking to all the nations, that my people might be renewed unto a genuine strength, a re-strengthening as a people. Isaiah 49 declares, he also comes saying, listen to me, O owls. Well, my brothers and sisters, it means he must have a rule that must be hearkened to. An unadulterated, pure, perfect testimony that all must come to respect, revere, and obey. Messiah said, if you love me, wow. Some men say, oh, we love the Most High. We love the Lord. I hear it all the time. But Messiah said, if you love me, keep, guard, maintain, defend my commandments. Amazing, my brothers and sisters, that so many in the midst of a variant world, so many under so many differing allegiances and status quos, I believe that somehow after all these variances and contradictions that they have been true to the command, the authority, the righteousness, the plan, the will, the conscience of one. Think about it. Messiah said the utmost command of all is that we respect him as one. Hear, O Israel. In other words, get my point. Men, after their flesh, oftentimes only want to hear what grants them license to function, as they would say, without shame after whatever they would do. In other words, many actually believe that the scriptures, well, I'll just quote the scripture for you. Messiah said it himself upon the stake. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. My brothers and sisters, by no means should any man consider that he is just because he does not discern what the acceptable will of the Most High is. We must be far wiser to know far better than that. If we were to understand that scripture well, if I said if we want to understand that scripture well, it would be far more like saying or understanding the scripture says, Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him might not perish. All my brothers and sisters, Messiah came bringing always an exceeding testimony of which we should be thankful to receive it beyond all the multitude of variant status quos after which men have been, think about it, my brothers and sisters, imprisoned and by no means set free. Messiah actually said, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways, and I spoke about this the other night. If any man be ashamed of my words in this evil generation, he said he would be ashamed of that one before his Father and before his angels, his messengers, all those who are held steadfast to his message. What must be understood about this, my brothers and sisters, is this. What Messiah was actually saying is that by no means should a man's values become so misplaced I said, by no means should a man's sense of value become so misplaced that he becomes proud of the variant misideals that exist in this world that seek to cloud the issue and confuse man against the, let's say, knowing with a genuine sense of awareness what is the pure, perfect word of one. In fact, what Messiah was saying, as one who wrought a restoration of conscience, a raising of conscience, beyond all the variant status quos of man, none of which are deliverance. No impure and imperfect standard can make any man whole. What he was actually saying, do not forsake them. Do not leave them forsaken, Father, that they might know what they do. In the Aramaic, for instance, in Philippians 2 and 13, what it actually says is this: know ye not that it is Yah who inspires you to do the good things that you do? Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Seek to guard, maintain, and defend the integrity of my word. And I will petition, ask of the Father for the spirit of truth, which the worldly will not receive. In other words, those who seek to keep this world divided against the perfect will of one will not, I don't know whether they not receive this spirit, but that exceeding testimony they have a tendency to desire to renounce. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand what those scriptures are actually saying, that those who would serve the Most High, as it is written, again, we read Yohanan, John 3:14, 3:21. He who desires to do good will come into the light to be assured that his works, what he does, is wrought. How about acceptable? A work, a good work, complete work, acceptable work unto the One Most High. But he that does evil does not come into the light, does not seek the greater discretion of the Most High, lest his evil works, fallen short works, should be reproved. My brothers and sisters, be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. He is not to be robbed. From the flesh, or let's just say after the carnal mind that refuses divine rule, that despises divine law, divine order, after the flesh, after the what seems right after the variant status quos of a divided world, after such corruption, man can only reap destruction. But after the spirit that would teach all things, being willing to hear the greater word of the Most High, that all discern him as one by that spirit, after which, again, all might become aware of him, agreed in him as one, we have an opportunity toward eternal life, even peace. But we live in a society today that, amazingly enough, many have not understood what the Apostle Shaul meant when he says, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. The word for gospel, basura, that word, my brothers and sisters, does not relate just merely a partial testimony after which, after the variant interpretations of man and the variant insentient, unfounded oftentimes, ideas of man. My brothers and sisters, the gospel is not a word. It's not a testimony that is of this world. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, is a gift from above, perceiving and seeing through the eyes, ears, the One Most High, what is his heart, his will. That my brothers and sisters, that whoever would believe in him, would trust in him, but also trust to believe, my brothers and sisters, what he trusts and believes. It's important that we know this, my brothers and sisters. It's when the scriptures in effect are saying, if any man believe any other word is complete and acceptable, let him be accursed. It means there's only one mastery, one lordship, one faith, one baptism, one pure testimony that's beyond all the misconceits of this world. One testimony, my brothers and sisters, that is not like the filthy rags of men's unrighteousness. One testimony, my brothers and sisters, that is true to fully what is the desire, conscience of the One Most High. For indeed, the pattern for life is the attainment of conscience beyond worldly contradiction, is the attainment of conscience beyond every worldly status quo. Scripture says salvation is not of works as any man should boast. It means salvation is not after the contradictive, short-sighted designs of men, and that we must be his workmanship. We must allow him to work upon our conscience to refine our patterns of thought, desire, deed. Ultimately, the scripture says unto good works. Again, I've said before so many times, the word for good is also the word for complete, wholly acceptable unto Yah. Unto good works which Yah has foreordained. I would even take the words of another scripture and put them in a better context, I believe, and to point and understand. Some say faith without works is dead. I would say faith is not unto good works. Is not faithful unto one. The very word faith, emunah, in Hebrew, has to do with the idea about when the scripture says salvation is by faith. It has to do with a trust in conscience beyond the variant misconceits and contentions and oppositions of man. It must be understood. There's no such thing, my brothers and sisters, as the massive oppositions still yet being true. We must awaken to understand the truth of this. I said I wanted to talk a bit tonight, therefore, about the concept of one of the great secrets of prayer. Heaven help us all to understand so much better. I had someone tell me the other day that, you know, people pray for all kinds of things. Wow. Shall a man pray to the Most High against divine will? It sounds to me then, at that point, then it's a very precious thing that a man's petition to know divine will, that he might call upon the name of the Most High, not mocking, not misrepresenting, not speaking against divine purpose, is a very precious prayer to have the Most High respond to. One scripture said, you did not call me, but I called you. My brothers and sisters, it is the Most High himself that must reveal the principles of his name, his oath, which, understand, his very name being holy, declaring he is as he is. He would not have his name corrupted. He would not give his honor or have his honor disrupted after the will of another. Means, my brothers and sisters, that whatever we pray must be in his will. Think about it. The Shema. We speak about it often. Mark 12:29-31. Messiah said it's the utmost and greatest command of all. It's all that I've said before, the greatest command, the greatest oath. Hear. We must be willing to hear from on high. We must be willing to hear heaven's voice. We must be willing to hear the exceeding testimony of the Most High. However it is, my brothers and sisters, the Most High would reveal himself and reprove mankind's conscience against its anomalies. That we must do. We must be willing to hear. But carnal eyes and ears, scripture says in Isaiah 64, 1 Corinthians 2nd, relates to carnal eyes and ears have not been always so willing to hear and see that which Yah has planned for those who love him. And those who love him, my brothers and sisters, will seek him according to the fullness of all that is his desire. No less, be not deceived. The Most High is not to be misrepresented. His name is not to be sworn by after any desire or will less than the fullness of all that he will reveal. He is not to be robbed, my brothers and sisters, but revered. There's a reason why the scriptures tell us, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, in the name of the Most High, and his name, my brothers and sisters, in fact, is an oath and a petition of prayer. The Most High says he is one. He is as he is, all that he is. And no less, my brothers and sisters, no less. So those who would love him, praise him, honor him, worship him, must seek the fullness of his will. He said, hear, O Israel. Be willing to hear all that is necessary, that we all as a people may indeed, even my brothers and sisters, that we as a people may indeed unto his honor be one. For as the Most High is one, the only offering possible, acceptable unto him, is peace, oneness of mind, heart, spirit, soul. He said, therefore, hear, O Israel, all that is necessary that we all revere him as one. That is utmost command. It relates also, my brothers and sisters, that the cumulative body of knowledge that we all respect, we must all respect mutually as one. And it is our duty one to another that if ever there be any differences, any fallen misideals amongst us, any differences and contentions amongst us, any differences of opinion unto the honor of the Most High, it is our obligation, my brothers and sisters, that we seek him, all that is his will, with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. That indeed, my brothers and sisters, we might function together, agree together, love and trust as one together. That is the utmost command of the kingdom of the Most High. The most command of a people that would honor the Most High as he is. I said it before so many times when the scriptures talk about the kingdom of heaven. The word for heaven is Shamaim. It means the people of the Shema, the people who all will pray unto the honor of him who is one for all that is necessary, that there be no differences amongst us and that we be in mind, heart, and spirit, word, and deed, agreed, my brothers and sisters, as one. And I find it amazing that there are so many who call themselves pastors in this world today. And the only offering they can give desires to preserve the contentions of their multitude of variant brands. Heaven help us. Is the corruptions of their own insentient, irreverent lack of conscience. Because that's it happens to be a lack of conscience, because the only way you can have so many differences. 47,000 denominations seeking less than the full, less than the fullness that the name of the Most High declares. The word "nam" means name, my brothers and sisters. They all want to take away from the authority of his name and title that they establish themselves. I think about Revelation 13. It says, upon the heads of the kings were the names of blasphemy, meaning that they by no means had any intent to fully revere the Most High as he is. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, they sought to insult him as if the Most High knows nothing or requires nothing in the refinement of human conscience beyond their separate and contentious selves. Think about it. Hosea, 7th chapter, relates the conscience of most today. One scripture says that Israel has mixed himself with Gentiles after all the variant ideas of this world, wearied after a multitude of corrupt ways, it says in Isaiah 57 in this diaspora. Wearied to the point of gray hairs, refuses to know it. It says, though the Most High has sought to save them, make them whole, make them one, deliver them from every misconceit. He said, yet have they spoken lies, robbery, misconceit, misrepresentations against his true nature. Woe on the multitude of pastors out here, my brothers and sisters, that would prefer that men remain in darkness regarding so much truth of the scripture that must be brought to the light. That would keep the people in darkness, that they do not understand the treachery, that men do not understand the treachery They're very much so, my brothers and sisters, lawless, hypocritical, less than righteous avocation, desires to establish their own brands, my brothers and sisters. Partial standards, imperfect standards. To keep the minds in prison, my brothers and sisters, not to see the great truths. Flattering the people, my brothers and sisters, after impurity, imperfection, mediocrities. They cannot give honor to the gift of the Spirit that would teach all things. But there are many, my brothers and sisters, who would do this, as I've said before. Many who I've heard over and over again tell me about how they, whatever it is that people would buy, they are willing to sell. I spoke on the last show about how the scriptures say one day the day will come when no man will buy their merchandise anymore. And they will understand that these partial and imperfect standards after which there can only be contentions are worthless before the Most High, by no means acceptable unto the peace that he would desire for his people. Many say that they pray for their nation, but I ask a question, my brothers and sisters. So you pray that there continue to exist obstacles against the perfect will of one? Think about it. Far better that we pray that we, wherever we might be scattered among the nations, that our conscience might be restored unto the will of one. As the scripture said, according to the multitude of them, so have they spoken lies against him, misrepresented him, robbed him, said that there was nothing to be discerned of the Most High beyond themselves. And the scripture says he shall come as an eagle against the house of the Most High, as a bird of prey against what many today call churches. And we need to talk about that for a minute, because they aren't really churches according to ancient understanding. He said he'll come against them as an eagle, because they've done violence to his law. And yet they have said, "O our God, we know thee." Unwilling to admit in the fallen state of conscience that there has been a fall, men have cited what they wanted to call new norms. Unwilling to realize that there's a need to see so much more. 1 Corinthians, again, said, "In the name of the Most High, unto his honor, we must all speak the same thing. No divisions among us, one understanding." That is a consummate sense of rule, not believing that any other multitude of lesser standards or contradictions could ever be peace. Certainly not the gospel of peace. It's imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we understand. Looking on through the book of Hosea, for instance, in the 8th chapter, scripture finally saying the people have set up kings, but not by him. Set up rules after which they would be satisfied, but not by him. Desirous, it says in Zechariah, not to hear the greater word of the Most High, that they might continue to do what they do, seemingly without shame, not recognizing the shame of what they do. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. It said they set up kings, principles, precepts, but not by Yah, not true to him. If his greater words were spoken, his exceeding words beyond the status quo principles they have established, his words would be considered to them a strange thing, even a thing of which they would be ashamed before the wickedness of an adulterous, lawless generation. For many of them, my brothers and sisters, would tell you right quickly, you start talking about the exceeding words that are in the scriptures, the exceeding testimony in the scriptures beyond the what if men have called their personal norms and their national, political, and pseudo-religious norms. You start talking about the scriptures that are not common to most people's thinking, and they not only find it a strange thing, but my brothers and sisters, they consider that that can't be in the Word because they never heard it before. I remember one time listening to, this was 30 years ago now. It's amazing how time flies. One of your big-time televangelists was looking at the scriptures in Hebrews, and scriptures in Hebrews in the 10th chapter, and it talks about the idea that Well, Hebrews 10:26-31. They talk about the judgment that comes upon those who defy the testimony of the Most High, and it's proven at the word of two or more witnesses. How severe that punishment, more severe than the law of Moshe. And what was declared in the law of Moshe is a punishment upon those who blaspheme, insult the Spirit, the gift of the Most High, the grace of the Most High. And the first thing they say, that doesn't sound like grace. That doesn't sound like the gospel. As if they believe that the grace of the Most High is that the Most High suddenly becomes indiscriminate concerning all that is His will. As if the Most High had no law, that they might exalt their own over His. As if men might exalt their law, wherever they might be, according to their orientations, fallen orientations, or something greater than the will of the One Most High. Sad, my brothers and sisters, but true. The gospel is a pure, perfect word from above, for the Most High would not be destabilized by any of the fallen, miscreant, misideals of men. Scripture goes on, my brothers and sisters, in Hosea, for instance, and it talks about the idea that because men's sense of conscience has been corrupted, after all the varying misideals of men have been, wherever even the children of Israel have been scattered among the nations, my brothers and sisters, the conscience becoming so depraved. So the scripture says, what will you do on the solemn feast day? How can you keep a day holy, pure, perfect unto the One Most High, in unity unto the One Most High? What will you do on a solemn feast day, the holy day of the Most High? Well, the scripture says, when Messiah appears, because certainly He seeks to reprove them. Scripture says He'd be hated in the house of His Holy One. Ah, my brothers and sisters, if we only read the scriptures closely, the scriptures actually tells the Messiah Himself is going to kick a whole lot of folks just plainly out of His house. Out of all those places where men have misrepresented Him. Judgment begins at the house of Yah. Malachi said He would purge out the wicked sons of Levi who do not respect His perfect will. Read 2:16 and Malachi 3:4, my brothers and sisters, and understand that true righteousness according to all that is divine will must be restored. That must be the petition of us all. Scripture says because men have corrupted themselves, become depraved in their sense of conscience, the scripture says He remembered their iniquity and He will punish their sins. 9:16 goes on further and even talks about how the Most High has looked upon His people Israel scattered among the nations after the depravities and contradictions of the nations and likened them to the ancient city of where most people would look at T-Y-R-E. Tyrus is sometimes seemingly to be pronounced according to the spelling. And He says He's likened His people to those who have utterly, if you understand it, have forsaken the righteousness of the Most High for the sake of wealth. Many times men seeking to market themselves, politicizing themselves, forsaking their very own conscience, their souls. Forsaking all sense of righteousness, that they may market themselves after the varied misideals of men. Messiah said it so well when He said, heaven help us, my brothers and sisters. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? My brothers and sisters, every prayer of every man who would be true to the Most High must be a petition for the fullness of divine will. Yohanan 15:14. What does it say? You're my friends if you do. So desire to see all my will made manifest. The ancient city of Tyrus, was destroyed, my brothers and sisters. And the admonition concerning that city and the book of Isaiah, the 23rd chapter going in 24, tells about how men have forsaken the holy covenant for the sake of what is highly esteemed among men. I talked a bit about that the other night in this show. And it's imperative that we understand what those scriptures mean, how that city called Tyrus, which is explained about in the whole social orientation that Tyrus, the ancient city, merchant city, Tyrus was about. Ezekiel 27 to the 29th chapter relates so much, my brothers and sisters, about how men have been willing to forsake upholding the conscience of the Most High so as not to offend the conscience of those who prefer to be indiscriminate, prefer their own ways, prefer not to hear the greater word of the Most High. So have many of my brothers and sisters been like politicians, willing to sacrifice all conscience to uphold all manner of hypocrisy, never upholding the whole truth, compelling men, my brothers and sisters, to see those who are esteemed by men in their hypocrisy as if they were the blessed ones. Oh, heaven help us, my brothers and sisters. Woe to those who want to be kings of Babylon, who want to rule over people who want to be continually misrepresentative. Woe on those, my brothers and sisters, who want to maintain the confusion and contentions and the inexactitude or the inconscience or the indiscriminate thoughts of men not seeking the fullness of what is divine will. And yet they say they pray according to whatever seems pleasing in their own saints. They call it one nation under God, indivisible. But yet, my brothers and sisters, they call it the United Snakes. Every man seeking after his own ideologies and the various colonies that came to this country. My brothers and sisters are claiming to have an inalienable right to them, to define what is life, hope, and peace after their own designs. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I got so much more to talk about concerning this. And I'm looking at my time. And I know I need to move on. But the scriptures relate that the day must come that men must realize, and I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, men must realize that the thoughts of men, undirected, unguided, undisciplined thoughts of men, my brothers and sisters, fall short of the glory of what is honorable unto the Most High. And the Most High knows that the thoughts of men are vain. So it says, let us be continually diligent, seeking the greater truth, petition the Most High, that our words, Psalms 19:7, that the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in His sight, even in the sight of Him who is our helper and Savior, knowing that the conversion of our hearts demands that we seek His perfect will. The law of the Most High is perfect that converts the soul, and the soul is only converted when its desires for all that the Most High ultimately desires. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. It's imperative that we know, the scripture tells us, therefore let us continue to seek the Most High. That no man consider himself fully wise or discerning, having overcome all the misconceits of this world, till Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered, to expose all the traps and snares of the institutions of man that deny the greater truths. And that's why Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth. How about the exceeding truth the real world won't tell you? And that exceeding truth will set you free. Because trust me, my brothers and sisters, no man's free. No man's free unto the kingdom of Yah, as he transcends all the variant, fallen status quos, hegemonies, controlling bodies of knowledge, misconceits, misorientations, misinterpretations that have come to seem wise amongst contentiously arrogant in their mediocrity. Men. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. The day must come when all discern the truth purely and perfectly, that it begin to seem foolish and be deemed as foolish for anyone not to seek the greater will of the Most High that He reveals. Oh, I got so much to talk about regarding that. Warn them, my brothers and sisters, who pray for the preservation of any obstacle against the free flow of truth. Said Messiah said, I make no petition, make no prayer, no petition, no request for the worldly, who would maintain this world divided, but for those who would hear. We're talking about the Shema again. For those who would hear his exceeding word, that after a pure and perfect testimony, a word about might be made one. I want you to think about it, what they call, has been called affectionately called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Hey, that's all hear and seek to declare. Discern. Be obedient to. In word and deed, the will of one. Our Father, who art the Most High, who art in heaven. The kingdom of Shamayim. The kingdom of those who pray the Shema, that we all might be in his name and unto his honor. One perfect agreement. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. That means that all who would declare his name must be of one mind, heart, desire, cooperation, allegiance, love, indeed. Hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of peace. And all who would be part of it must be one. No two people disagree will be constituent in that kingdom. Did you notice the Messiah? In so many ways, set the prerequisites for prayer in the context of what is, in effect, my brothers and sisters, the Shema, that all must be willing to hear, all that is the testimony, even if necessary, the reproof of the Most High. That if there be any differences amongst us, unto his honor, we all, unto his honor, unto reverence for his testimony, we all be one. It's imperative that we know this. That means, my brothers and sisters, we should also therefore pray for whatever we pray for unto his name, unto his honor. That we abuse, misuse nothing, but that everything, my brothers and sisters, that we have and everything that we are might give glory and honor unto his desire. A design. Think about Isaiah 30 sometime, you know. What are them who take counsel but not from the Most High? Who add sin to sin. How about lie upon lie? He calls them like beasts who sit still. They take counsel, he said, but not from him. Oh, they want to offer offerings then, my brother and sister. The scripture says, not of his spirit. Not seeking the fullness of his will, as if that offering, that form of worship, viable. Scripture says it's in vain. It falls short of what's acceptable. It says they take counsel, but not from him. The question is asked then, whose counsel do they take? They seek shelter under the shadow of Egypt. They seek not to know divine will and therefore to claim that what they offer should be acceptable because they knew not what is his will. And what does the scripture say in Ephesians 6? You must know or the acceptable will of Yah. You must put upon yourself the whole armor of Yah. You must know how to discern the difference between good and evil, what is whole and what is incomplete, what is acceptable, what is honorable, and what is not. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the utmost prayer, the scripture calls it the gift of Yah, the grace of Yah. The words are the same. It relates, my brothers and sisters, that the grace and the gift of Yah is that he grants discretion of his will. But one of the biggest tricks that exists in this world is that men have believed that all manner of mediocrity, fallen short standards and misideals and misorientations are acceptable because they use his name to exalt their vanities, their presumptuousnesses. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we must know far better than that. We must know far better than that. It says they despised then the exceeding word, called them false sons because they would not hear the law, the order, the just, righteous will and plan of the One Most High. They despised his word and trust in oppression, contradictions, contentions, irrationalities, self-righteousness. What is oppression against the honor of the holy name? Against what is holiness, what is oneness? They despise his word and trust in oppression, complain, know something is wrong. They look at all these differences and anomalies that exist in the world, complain, know something is wrong, but still yet trust in it. He says a sudden breaking of this should be like the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken without pity. But the day comes, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will show again his, that he is a God of justice. And he will show again his kindness, his grace, that men might again discern after a true teacher. And the scripture goes on and say that you should hear a word before you say, and this is the way. Walk in it, do not turn aside, neither to the right nor to the left. And that, my brothers and sisters, is indeed the blessing. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, that unto the honor of him who is one, we must become a people beyond all the snares after which men have, in their personal wrath, anger, and will. So often, my brothers and sisters, have maintained grudges, but the point of the matter, my brothers and sisters, who is it that men believe will be called just before the Most High when no one, when very, very few are willing to hear all that is justice? Who should the Most High give his prize to if men want to count themselves wise, not seeking the fullness of all that the Most High intended from the beginning as an eternal promise? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures tell us no man can serve two masters. I'm looking at my time. Let me move swiftly here. Book you see, bells, my brothers and sisters. A lot of principle I want to relate here. Why? Because there's a scripture that says Messiah will come with a title, a name, a surname, even the name of his father, if you will. They put down there which no man knew but he himself. It really means, my brothers and sisters, it means that no man the vocable, certainly, in this world has become, and it's even being spoken, has become indiscriminate in this world. But my brothers and sisters, we're talking about a level of conscience and awareness as to the principles of the holy name that many have not considered. And in that lack of consideration, while men yet say they worship the Most High, while still yet misrepresenting him, the scriptures actually relate the idea that Messiah will relate the principles of the holy name to such a degree that men will begin to see and discern what has been their lack of conscience, the unrighteousness they have exalted, how men for one day rue the day that they sought insentient, inconscient, self-righteous, and flattering teachers. All my brothers and sisters, you have to understand, when the scripture said they blaspheme the name of the Most High, it means they insulted any sense of righteousness greater than their own, as if the Most High had to be constrained within the smallness of their own mindscapes. This is what the rulers of this world have done. Why do the nations rage? People imagine vain things because the kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High. How about against his exceeding will? And against his anointing, even against the conscience and the gift of the Spirit the Most High gives to raise man's conscience, standing against the way of peace. The Messiah will come to declare an exceeding testimony, my brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. Read Psalms 2 closely for yourselves. An exceeding instruction. It says, be wise, therefore, O kings, be instructed, O judges of the earth. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and his wrath be kindled but a little. One who comes forth saying, today the Most High has begotten, saying the Most High has said to him, This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you all the nations for your inheritance. You should shepherd them with a rod of iron. And those who resist them, my brothers and sisters, those who are willing to listen, he will shepherd with a strong word of absolute discretion, unflinching. But those who are not listening will break in pieces like the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken without pity. For an unclean vessel, my brothers and sisters, that will not be cleansed, that resists, my brothers and sisters, the power to maintain the integrity of a pure word. My brothers and sisters, all such as this, which only contaminate a thing, you will find worthless, just like an unclean, the scripture says, unclean potter's vessel. And if a man were to partake of it, it would only, instead of being nourished, he might be diseased, made ill, sickened, my brothers and sisters. Most High would have for his people, as vessels for the habitation of his spirit, something more, much more than this, that we all be for the good of one another, preserving the will of the one Most High. We become a strong, healthy, healed people. That a true ministers, a true minister of the Most High might come forward. That our people might indeed be healed of all the maladies of insentient, unrighteous, and irreverent conscience that plague the minds of men. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, no man will be found worthy of the holy name and the reward that comes with oneness with Yah. But those who indeed, my brothers and sisters, prove they will be true to all his will. Scripture that I want to talk about. Many of you have read it and seen it yourselves. No man can serve two masters. Either he will love one or he will hate the other. Despise, put away the other. No man can serve both Yah and Mammon. Oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, men seeking to make themselves marketable to as many differing ideals as they possibly feel that they can, will sacrifice, my brothers and sisters, the integrity of a testimony, or depend upon the environment in which they move. Preferring to be like comedians, my brothers and sisters, never true to an exact sense of conscience or form. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. The scriptures relate in Isaiah 44, 45, 46. The time must come when all must recognize there's one Lord, one mastery. From the rising sun to the west, all must recognize there's only one salvation. Isaiah 45 and 6. So shall they revere the name of the Most High from the rising sun to the west. Isaiah 45 and 23. Unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. He is the Most High and there is none else. I want you to understand what these scriptures really mean, my brothers and sisters. When the scripture says that no man can serve two masters, we must understand, my brothers and sisters, there's only one ultimate mastery. When men choose after the divisions of their own carnality, so often again what they are saying is that whatever is beyond their own conscience they want to call foolishness. The truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, a man proves himself foolish and deceitful when greater conscience is revealed and he seeks something less. There's only one mastery, one perfection, one completion, one supremacy, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one purging beyond all worldly misconceit, one omnipotent conscience beyond all contradiction. And he who is, my brothers and sisters, pure and perfect, no contradictions in him, no resistance, but only harmony, and that which is perfect truth, must be master. And every insubordinate lesser ideal must bow before that absolute primacy after which things, all things, might be. When he says, I am that I am, he is saying, I am the am. I am the existence. And my brothers and sisters, in that which has power to declare what will survive and that which will not, according to whether or not it appeases his will, is certainly without question the master. There's one mastery, one supremacy. Everything less, my brothers and sisters, is foolishness, folly, deception, not perception, fallen sense of conscience, fallen sense of values. Anything less, my brothers and sisters, is not a promise but a compromise, a lie. And whoever seeks to establish barriers against seeking the exceeding wisdom of the Most High, well, what does the scripture say? The word of Yah is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of Yah is all that it is. Word with word is his exceeding word, the Dabarim, all his word and thoughts collectively. He says nothing that is not reinforced by all his words, and everything that the Most High says is a response, a statement, relative to all that is his conscience, no less. It's time we understand this, my brothers and sisters. This is the conscience we must attain if we talk about allegiance, love, worship, honor, unto the surety, even of attaining, the hope of attaining the name of him who is one. And him who is one, my brothers and sisters, transcended every possible difference of ideal and opinion, who has controlled, if you will. Hey, all that is his being, has control of all that is his being, that in all things he be one unto all that is good and whole. That certainly, my brothers and sisters, is the master. There are no differences, no contentions, no contradictions in him. No man can serve two masters, my brothers and sisters, because indeed there's one. One master. The word for master also means one who is complete, having complete, if you will, mastery or control over all that is thought, word, and deed. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, unto only what can be a positivity. No backsliding, no contradiction, no turning aside from what is the reality. My brothers and sisters, no deception in him. One master, my brothers and sisters, one omnipotent conscience above all, and everything else is a demigod, a deceiver, an alien, a misrepresentation in which there is no hope, no salvation, no hope of peace. And all must exceed the variant status quos of a fallen, short, ailing world, wherein so many once there came a falling away of conscience. Many have sought the flatteries of those, even willing have been willing to pay men that they might be flattered in their less than diligence. But my brothers and sisters, when the scripture says we must hear, it means also we must seek the Most High. But there are those who would say that in their lack of conscience, that they have loved the light of truth. My brothers.